Welcome to the Real Family Guys podcast with Jeff Emery and Trey Gibson, the show where education and experience collide to help you go deeper in your parenting. Broadcasting from Abilene, Texas, here are your hosts, Jeff and Trey.
Well, hello and welcome to the Real Family Guys podcast. This is the show where experience and education collide to take you deeper in your parenting. The date today is December the 14th, 2012. Happy, happy Friday to everybody as we're getting close and geared up to our holiday weekends coming up. We are going to talk a little bit today about traditions. I'm here with my good friend, Jeff Emery. Jeff, I can't tell you how disappointed I was that I didn't get my collide sound.
Well, you know, I did it last time, and even though you, I want to be predictable, Trey. I mean, this relationship, I got to keep you on your toes, and so that was a silent collision. That was like an atomic level. You can't hear it because it's so
implosion.
Small, we are colliding, absolutely. Parents in education, we got all sorts of explosions going off. Have to call the fire department here in a minute if these explosions get any more intense than what we normally bring on the Real Family Guys podcast. So,
well, Jeff, today, first off, how you doing? We're getting close to the holidays. You ready? Are you ready? Jeff, are you ready?
You know, sometimes holidays can be pretty stressful times, but we have kind of a mixed blessing this year of not having a huge holiday budget, which means that consequently we've had to be really proactive.
How
we're doing gifts. And so on the one hand, there's not a lot of money to go around. On the other hand, we're okay with all the gifts and stuff. Now we're just waiting for family time to roll around for some time off work so we can spend time playing games and have fun with each other. So yeah, we're looking forward to it.
You know, that's kind of where we're at, too. A while back on the Marriage Podcast Network, we put an episode out about road trips, and that's kind of one of our favorite things about holidays is road trips. Because, you know, like, a lot of people get, like, stressed out about road trips, but my wife and I, especially the longer we've been married, the more we've grown together, like, we've started to see road trips as, like, a really wonderful thing and kind of a blessing. And it's that time that we get when the kids will fall asleep and take their naps that we get our unadulterated time with each other. Because, like, we are laser protective about our morning times with each other when we drink coffee when the kids first wake up. Mm-hmm. And I go like, nope, you go to your room. This is our time to talk, you know, but they still keep coming in. It still distracts. So we love car time. So we're fired up about the holidays today.
Well,
or excuse me, that are coming up. So we're going to talk a little bit today about traditions, Jeff. So I guess the first question is we got to talk about what exactly is a tradition, just so that way there's no confusion as to what we're talking about when we define this. So we're going to define today a tradition as being something that is a custom. It's a belief that we have that we've established that's been passed on typically, you know, from generation to generation, right? So that's what we're going to define a tradition as. Typically, it has some level of meaning. So we're going to talk a little bit about traditions.
Right. And, you know, When you mention tradition, one of the things we'll talk about is how do we start new traditions. And it always makes me laugh a little bit when we think about places that are starting new traditions, and they'll, especially like companies and organizations, when they put out a flyer that says first annual, you know, and I'm like, okay, if it's going to be annual, you kind of have to wait till the second one before we call it, you know. Maybe you can call it the inaugural or something like that.
But, yeah, that makes sense to me.
But traditions are important, and they mean something not only to individuals, but as you mentioned, sometimes they're passed on from generation to generation. And so as a generational kind of blessing that gets handed down, they can be really significant for us in our family systems. That's what we're all about here at the Real Family Guys podcast, is talking about systems, about families, and about relationships. So this is good stuff.
You know, the reason I like this idea and mentality of tradition so much is, you know, my philosophy is very grounded in the idea of relationship, that relationship is the venue. It's the vessel that gets just about everything that you want your kids know from you to them, to the point where they'll actually, at least they have every tool that they need to act through on it. And so I like traditions. Because the idea behind them is again, it's about building relationships. It's about having something that you do in a routinized manner that happens over and over and over, whether it be a yearly, an annual thing, or whether it be a daily thing or a weekly thing. It's just those things that you do that, in my mind, I kind of translate it as, in a tradition is something that is routinized and happens regularly to help facilitate relationship. And so
that, and that's the key. As you're saying that, I want to offer a little caveat about traditions. Is sometimes we lose sight of a tradition and it loses its meaning, and we keep doing it just for the sake of doing it. And I've got a couple of things that popped into my head there. On the one hand, you've got the for me, there's kind of a spiritual imperative. There's a the something that, that I learned in ministry and that is important to my family is that looking back and in how the Bible is full of rituals and traditions and teachings and things like that. And
yes,
especially stuff that's been handed down over generations. And way back after the Israelites had left Egypt and they were entering into the Promised Land and all that stuff. One of the things they were told to do is as they crossed over the Jordan, they made this pile of rocks, I mean, big stones. And the instruction was given, make this pile of rocks so that in future generations, when you pass this way and your children ask you, mother, father, why are these rocks here? You can tell them this is a remembrance of when God brought us out of Egypt and brought us through the wilderness right. and into the Promised Land. And that's what this signifies. And so that's great that we hand down the meaning of – otherwise it's just a pile of rocks, right?
Right, right.
So I remember we had a friend way back in when I was in college who told us about a family tradition that during the holidays, they would one of their traditional meals was that they would have ham for a meal, and they cooked it the way that grandma made it. And so eventually grandma was too old to cook, and so some of the daughters took over the cooking process. And so they did it the same way. They would take a big ham, but they would cut it in half and then put it in the oven in a pan to cook. And one of the daughters asked one time, you know, she just married into the family. She wasn't aware why they did it that way. And so she said, why are you cutting it in half? And they said, well, I don't know. Maybe it cooks faster. I don't know. That's what grandma did. Well, let's go ask her. So they go, they go out and they say, hey,
I
grandma,
love this story,
we're doing this. But somebody brought up, well, why are we cutting it in half? And she said, oh, when we were growing up, I only had a pan that was big enough to hold half of it.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. No, I think that's great.
So sometimes we carry things through and they become traditions, but without a purpose or without a meaning to the tradition, without carrying on that meaning, it becomes kind of almost pointless, you know? So traditions are important, but we also have to carry on the purpose of the tradition. We have to be able to tell the future generations why we're doing this. And it all comes back to that word that we talk about all the time, relationship.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And I think you nail it right on the head. I love that story. That's one of my favorites that I use on this. And so you're saying that the minute that traditions become ineffectual is the minute that we lose the meaning that's behind them, when there's nothing that is really conducive to fulfilling the relationship. And I think that's absolutely great. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about what are some of the rituals that Jeff and I do in our family. What do? Why do we practice them? And we're going to go through a little bit of that. So I'm wondering, Jeff, what are some of the traditions in y'all's family?
Well, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but when we first got married, Amelia and I had to do some negotiating especially around the holidays, for how we were going to do some of the holiday things, because we were blending two families and two different sets of traditions, and I remember that our family does the Christmas opening of gifts stuff. They do that on Christmas Eve, and that was a big departure, because we opened one present on Christmas Eve and then we opened everything else Christmas morning. And so I really had to it was a paradigm shift for me in my brain. No, Christmas doesn't happen on Christmas Eve. That's when you have a meal and you go caroling and you see lights and you don't do presents Christmas morning. No, and I had to let go of, of course, when you become a parent, Christmas becomes less about getting gifts and about what you want and more about giving to your family and your kids and stuff. So I was able to make that transition a little bit better as a parent. But as far as traditions and stuff, are we talking holiday traditions or just everyday kind of traditions?
No, in this case, I'd say let's define it down to what are some of your holiday traditions. We'll start it there because let's get festive. We got Christmas coming up. So what are some of y'all's Christmas traditions?
Well, one thing that we like to do, we do something we call Cookie Fest. Every year, when Amelia's finally done with whatever's happening in December that keeps her from, whether it's work or school, she's currently in grad school right now. So now that she's finished with her finals and she'll have a little bit of time off work, she loves to bake. And it's not something she gets to do very often. And we have a tradition of she'll make several batches of sugar cookie dough, and we'll put it in the freezer or put it in the fridge and get it nice and cold. And then one day we'll spend all the cooking. We'll roll it out. We'll get different shapes, snowmen and stars and Christmas trees and angels and all sorts of stuff that are Christmassy type things.
Right.
And we'll spend just family time cutting out and taking turns. Our kitchen's not huge, but there's a crowd in there. But it's a fun thing to roll out the dough. It's something you don't normally get to do is use a rolling pin, Roll out the dough and flatten it. And when you cut out the shape, there's all these pieces left over. So it's fun to get your hands in there and
stuff. Yeah, that's what I'm talking
together.
About.
Yeah, getting messy and dirty together. We put on Christmas music and we just spend all day. then once we have the sugar cut out, well, then is the really fun part that we all take part in. We even invite family, other family and friends over to do this. We have a big decorating party where we'll decorate all these cookies. And I mean, every flat surface in our house has wax paper down, has cookies on it. And then a million some homemade frosting, and we get sprinkles, and we get gels, you know, stuff that we can do designs. And we try to outdo each other. Some of them are monstrosities that only deserve to be eaten. And some are works of art that deserve to be looked at and appreciated before they're eaten. But we love Cookie Fest, and it's something that we do every year, and really has become a family tradition for us that helps us all do something fun that brings us together as a family.
So one of the things I'm wondering, Jeff, is especially for folks that are listening that are like, see, I want something like that. How do you create something like that? So for the folks that are wanting to know, how do you start traditions? Do you remember even how it was Cookie Fest came about? I mean, was it a series of events? Did it happen at one big swell swoop? Did y'all just make the decision, or did it just kind of grow into what it is? How'd it start?
I think more than anything, it probably grew into a tradition. She loves baking, and so there were several things where she would she makes during the holidays. There's some things that only happen during the holiday cooking time, like a pumpkin log and some other confections that she likes to put together that are, you know, you don't really do them in the middle of June, you know. But Cookie Fest is actually something that we do a couple times a year. It's a tradition for the 4th of July. And I think that's where it started, is we'll also do it with more patriotic things during the 4th. So we'll have baseballs and flags and things like that during the 4th of July, decorating with red, white, and blue. But we enjoyed it so much that when we had some time around the holidays, we started it's baking time again. So we did Cookie Fest, and the kids are out of school, so it gives us something to do. And once we did it once and it was a lot of fun, well, then we invited some friends over, and then, you know, next year they said, hey, are we doing that again? And well, sure, we did it again. And pretty soon we did something that was meaningful and connecting and relationship building as well as fun. And so it kind of grew into something that we do every year. And so now if it doesn't happen, or if we haven't thought about it, we suddenly realize, oh man, and we'll make it.
We have a Cookie Fested.
That's right.
See, I like that. I think that's really, you know, that's really, really cool. You know, with us, one of the traditions that we have that got started is we love, my kids love Christmas lights, and it's become one of our things. Now, we live out in kind of a small ruralized town, so it's, you know, it's kind of outside, away from you know, the main part of town and whatnot, but you'd be surprised at how many country folks out there like us like to put up Christmas lights. And so that's one of the things that we do, is we all load up in the car and we'll just, you know, we'll start out the minute it gets dark. That's a beautiful thing about, you know, the U.S. time change, is that, you know, it gets dark so soon, so we can load up nice and early before the kids are all tired and worn out, and we just start driving. And we love to just drive around and see lights. And it's, you know, it's interesting too, because I think people are like, oh, cute. Yeah, Trey, I'll look at lights. But, you know, there's a part of me that really wants to convey the kind of the nuances. There's the nuances to these traditions that make them so precious to me. Right. And it's the things like when we're driving and one of the little ones just like, oh, there are lights. And they see lights. And then I get them to go, oh, tell me where's it at? And they say, right over there, Dad. And which side is, so of course, you know, we're homeschoolers, so we're always educating, which side, left side or right side? It's the left side. And then, you know, and then they kind of drive us, and so it gives them this kind of this sense that they're controlling where the car goes, because they're taking us to where these new lights are. And because out where I live, there's a lot of subdivisions, you know, in very rural subdivisions, and so they'll see it, and then we'll have them, which way do we go? Go this way? Okay, turn right here. Yeah. And so, you know, that's kind of the nuances of it. And what's funny about this is, Jeff, is that it's kind of become a tradition even outside of Christmas, because even once Christmas lights goes down, we still have a tradition on Wednesdays. We load up from church, we get in, it's all dark, you know, typically starting to get dark by the time, because, you know, I do youth ministry as well, and so, you know, once we get all the kids out and home in the right place and we're getting ready to pack up, it's typically dark. And so even outside of that tradition is turned into every Wednesday we go look at houses, is what we call it. I mean, we don't go look to buy them, we just go look at houses. And so we'll, you know, and then we just drive around in the dark and we see a house lit up, and we'll say, and it's turned into, ooh, that one kind of looks like Christmas lights. But it's kind of funny how that morphed out of just Christmas, you know, Christmas era, you know, Christmas time doing Christmas lights. It turned into something that happened later. But, you know, the reason I bring this up is I think that it speaks of how our kids long to have these things with us. They desire to connect with us in relationship. You know, they want to be around us. They want to spend time. They want to interact. And I think in a lot of ways, these traditions are so important And I'm saying all this because I think a lot of us have gotten kind of bitter taste in our mouth about tradition, because I think we kind of see what you explained very well at the start, is it's when we get stuck into doing something that we don't really know why we're doing it anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And so and I want to reflavor this with the good stuff, that stuff that's meaningful, because I think kids need this. They really count on a lot of these traditions.
Well, and not only do they need it, I think developmentally the things that bond us together as families and help us create connection to where we feel valued and we feel included and we feel like we belong are those things that give us familiarity and help us build connection.
Yes.
And so, especially around the holidays, holidays are just rife with traditions. And so whether it's stuff we do at school, I mean, my kids, go to school where one of the traditions they do, in order to help the season be not just about getting presents. They do angel tree stuff, or they adopt a family from PCI or something like that. Locally, that as a class, they do projects for, they write letters to, they find out what needs the family has, and then as individual families, we all kind of donate some things that will help out this one family that the class kind of adopted. And then every class in the school on a particular day goes and they deliver all this stuff to these families, and it's just overwhelming. Our kids, not only are they doing family tradition stuff, but this is a school tradition that gives back to the community. And I think that stuff helps us to feel like we're making a positive impact on our environment, on the world around us, and helps us be connected to our community and our schools and our families in this, on many levels. So traditions, and this whole idea of traditions and rituals, is incredibly important for family development and to not only build a relationship with our kids, but to use that relationship to help our kids become functional adults that we're proud that we've raised and we've passed on those principles and values that we value as a family.
So you and I were talking earlier too about before we started recording, and you mentioned that you guys kind of have a unique perspective on how y'all view Christmas and whatnot. Tell me a little bit about that. I'm actually really excited to hear this.
Well, I've been a church-going person my entire life. I mean, my dad was when he retired from the military, he was a minister for quite a few years, and I mean, I started leading, singing, and doing little sermon devotional stuff when I was like 10, 11, 12. So I've been doing this pretty much my entire life. But one of the things that's really kind of peculiar to the way that we look at things is that we don't really celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday. We don't do Advent. We don't do It's become a commercially a way to kind of monetize religion in a way that it's a national holiday and we celebrate as a national holiday, but we don't do it as we celebrate the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus every Sunday. And so for us, Christmas is more of a national holiday. It's a time for family and it is a time when the world is focused on sharing. So we lovingly and gratefully participate in these things where we reach out and we're able to be part of the communities. But it's not necessarily Jesus is the reason for the season moment for us. Jesus is the reason for everything we do. And Christmas is just another national time where the hearts and minds of our country are turned toward goodwill to others and helping each other out and being able to rejuvenate and take a time for being thankful around Thanksgiving and connecting as families and stuff during the Christmas holidays. So that's a little bit unusual about our family, but it allows us to participate in some of the wonderful traditions without necessarily having the religious overtones.
Yeah, right.
So that's pretty much what how we look at it from our perspective. But our perspective is just our perspective. What does the Gibson family household think of the whole Christmas tradition stuff?
You know, we're kind of like you. My wife and I, we really study the Bible pretty deeply. And if you really look at chronologically when the events of like when Christ's birth happened and those kinds of things, exactly, it's definitely not in what we consider December right now based off of the Hebrewitic calendar. And so we're kind of like y'all. I mean, sure, if this is when people want to throw it out there, to me, I mean, we're almost exactly like you. Like, see, I kind of resent Mother's Day and Father's Day because in all seriousness though, like in my realities is like, to me, that my wife should be celebrated every single day. And I don't mean like parties and cakes and things like that, but I mean she should know how special she is to me and acknowledge the kick butt work she does as a stay-at-home mom. And so – and I'm not trying to dog on people for that, but that we're kind of like you. I mean for us – I mean okay, if people want to celebrate it as being Christmas and whatnot and it's just kind of the tradition behind it, we're okay with that.
Sure.
One of the things that we do that's very iconoclastic, I mean, it totally breaks the mold for many people, is we don't do Santa Claus. We don't teach our kids
not
that
at
there
all.
Is. Not at all. I mean, we literally teach our kids that there is no Santa Claus. There is no reindeer. We do teach them that some people believe that. And we are very, very careful to say, listen, some parents teach their kids this because they want to have fun with them because, you know, they've done it for years. And it's a big thing to them. It's very important to them. And we let them know, do not educate kids that there is no Santa Claus. If somebody says that there is a Santa Claus, we just teach our kids to say, oh, okay. And to run it with that. But we teach them. And the reason we don't do that, and I have to be real careful with this because this is not a judgmental thing at all, and I'll get to that in a minute. But, I mean, we do that because of our belief systems about lying. And so lying being defined as any time you tell a deliberate untruth to somebody. And for us, telling our kids, even out of good fun, for us is lying. You know, so that there's a man who has elves on the North Pole who flies a reindeer, you know, and all that. I mean, is it harmless? Yes, I agree. I think it's harmless. But for us, that meets the criterion that we define as a lie. So we choose not to do that. Now, I want to be very clear here. We don't think people that do it are doing anything wrong. We don't think anybody right. that practices Santa Claus are doing something right. that it's wrong. We don't think that. I mean,
you're not brainwashing your kids.
Exactly.
Or doing something
precisely. Exactly. I mean, we have lots of friends that I am convinced that they are Bible believing folks that are right where they need to be when it comes to believing in God and God's will and all that other stuff. And they push Santa Claus, and we don't have a problem with that. For us, in our perspectives, we just couldn't make it work. So, you know, we don't do the Santa Claus. You know, for me. And call it selfish, because it probably is, Jeff. But for me, I'm like, man, I don't want no, you know, chunky guy in a red suit getting credit for the fact that I'm the one who spend all time with my kids and I know their personalities and I listen to those things when they say, oh, I want that. And then I pay attention right. and write it down. I'm the one who does that. And I want them to know that I love you guys so much. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to pay attention when you say. I'm willing to notice when there's those things that you didn't just like because the commercial said you should like it. You know, that thing that stuck with you, that came back over and over, that you kept mentioning, oh, man, I wish I had one of those. And you know, so that's kind of the approach that we take with all of that. Jeff, I've got to ask you. Jeff and I, we have a texting service that goes back and forth between this. And Jeff just put on there, and can I share it, Jeff?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, he put, I am so getting your kids an Elf on the Shelf. What do you think about Elf on the Shelf, man?
Well, that's the funny thing is that we have come through some of the similar thinking processes as you have, as far as a little bit bad about perpetuating this this deception on kids and everything. And but kind of a slightly different take on it. We've when we get to the age where our kids are starting to question, or they come home from school and say, you know, Joey said that there's no such thing as Santa, or you know, Susie said that the daddy and mommy are really Santa, you know, and they're
right.
having their foundational Christmas time beliefs shattered in you know, yeah. second, third, fourth grade, and you know we don't try to dissemble or anything like that. We just say, you know, there's not, but it's fun to pretend. It's just like one of those myths, or watching something on TV, or as much fun as it is to watch the Avengers. I don't really believe there's a Norse sure. god named Thor that you know powers from
Wait,
over the
what?
Bifrost. And
there's not. Wait.
You know, but it's part of the magic of the Christmas season is to pretend some of these traditions and beliefs that have been handed down for years. Do people really believe it? Well, I don't think that anybody, any grown-up person firmly believes in the reality of Santa Claus.
Sure.
But we hold
yeah.
on to the myth of Santa Claus because it's a cultural thing that binds us together. And so we kind of take it from that standpoint. And we tell our kids, you know, same thing. If somebody is talking about Santa, don't burst their bubble. Don't try
right,
and persuade
right.
them that they're wrong. Just say, yeah, you know, Christmas time is great. Or and on our part, it's fun to believe in the magic of Christmas. But that's what it is. It's make-believe, just like when we're reading a story.
Sure. So you didn't answer my question, Jeffrey, and I'm going to have you do it. I'm pinning you to the wall. What do you think about Elf on the Shelf? Are you going to ask me? I'll go first. I don't care.
No, well, I honestly think that the Elf on the Shelf is one of those things that has been created recently that I think it goes beyond the, hey, this is the magic of Christmas, a long-held belief. It's something that parents use to manipulate their kids to be good. You know, it kind of like the he sees you when he's sleeping, he knows when you're awake.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of
yeah.
creepy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It is.
You know? So,
I just put that on Facebook this week.
Yeah, well, I think it's funny that adults have kind of usurped, or at least what I've seen going around on Facebook, like you're saying, is that adults have taken this from we'll put it up on the shelf and we'll read the story and that's a fun little thing, to, well, now we're blaming him for little things. Like I had a friend who posted their elf on the shelf. They put a picture of him underneath the nozzle of their Keurig, and they put a caption of, looks like, you know, elf on the shelf is needing his caffeine intake this morning or something like that. Or, you know, they'll do things like, so-and-so, you know, whatever name they're calling their elf on the shelf, you know, he got into the wrapping paper. And so they crippled wrapping paper all on the floor. Okay. Well, I think that's taking a little bit too far. But once again, whatever floats your boat is, as far as a family. I don't think it's terrible, but at the same time, it's not something that we're engaging in. So,
you know, he just creeps me out. I'm going to be honest. He just absolutely creeps me out. I saw the funny meme right now that I've seen floating around Facebook is like, take a picture of your elf on the shelf, like doing things that are like watching you, you know? And so, right. Like they've got things like that. One lady took a picture of her kid sitting on the toilet and they are like, she had the pants were on. It wasn't like she was literally right. Going to the potty, but like the kid sitting in and she had a picture of the elf on the shelf watching through the door, like leaning over the door. I mean, just creepy stuff. Like
voyeuristic stuff.
It's
yeah.
Actually pretty funny. Cause he really does. He creeps me out. He's like, anyway, I got to be careful because I imagine that some folks really do practice that, and I want to make sure I don't come off as offensive because I'm not trying to be like that. But it's an interesting tradition to me. It really is. It really does. Anyway, so hey, we digress. We digress way too much.
We got way off track on that.
So have we pretty well wrapped up what we're talking about in terms of Christmas traditions? Because we're going to take it a step further with this, right?
Well, I'm wondering as a kind of a non-exhaustive list, what kind of things have you heard of? Are you aware that people do? Because I kind of wrote down a couple of things that many people do, maybe not as family traditions, but as seasonal traditions. Things like you mentioned holiday lights. You know, people put up lights on the outside of the house. Some people decorate the inside of the house. And as much as I enjoy the holiday season, I am a bah humbug when it comes to decorations.
Yeah, me too.
I'm one of those – I don't mind – I love taking pictures of my family doing it. But when it comes to trimming the tree, my wife doesn't even ask me anymore. I'll help get it down and set it up. But the getting out of the ornaments and the sentimentality that's connected to the year, right – that's not my thing. And so it feels like so much effort to have it up for a month and then take it back down that I'm just like, why are we doing this? But my family likes to do it. And so I'm like, okay. But I like doing things like caroling. I love singing. And so during the holiday times, there's some great traditional songs and even some newer songs that are coming out that I like. I like caroling, trimming the tree, gift exchanges. I heard of a family the other day that they have an ugly sweater evening where they invite families over. Yeah, yeah. And they're fun. You know,
they're super fun. Stuff.
Getting to laugh at yourself is always a skill that I think that as parents we need to develop, a survival skill to laugh at yourself. So stuff like that is fun and enjoyable, and, you know, we do it around the holiday time. So are there some things that you've heard of that are traditional holiday seasonal events?
You know, there are a few of them that we have. You know, we really don't have many. I was thinking about this as you were asking. I was like, well, dang it. Okay, what are mine? And we don't have very many. Like, we don't do a tree. Now, I love the tree. I have no problems with that. And even where it came from, like, you know, I mean, like, you'd be amazed at how many cultures that we have assumed are, because they're Christmas, we assume that they're Christian. And yet so many of them aren't. I mean, that's a whole nother show. We won't get into that today. But, you know, the Christmas tree is one of them that I love. And that actually had, from what I've read so far, it had some kind of Roman Christian ties. But we love the tree, but we have always lived in a 700 square foot house or less. And so we don't have the room for trees. And so, like, we always have, like, the Charlie Brown tree, you know, the little tiny, sad-looking sapling that looks more like a branch cut off of a good tree than it looks like the actual tree. And wow. So, you know, we've never done trees. And I was just kind of thinking, we really don't have anything specific, with the exception of the Christmas lights. We really don't have anything that's traditionalized. You know, the travel is very traditionalized, going and spending time with Lolly and Pop and those kind of – that's my mom and dad, Lollipop, get it? Anyway, but we, you know, those are – I realize a lot of our traditions when it comes to this holiday era are – we don't have them. And I was thinking about that last night as to why that is. And I think a large part of it is because, like you mentioned earlier, Christmas is not a huge thing for us. Not like it is in many families. And, you know, and so anyway, I was just thinking about that too. We really don't have too many, because for us, it's not, I mean, birthdays are way bigger.
Yeah.
Does that make me a bah humbug, Jeff? Is that,
well, Not necessarily. And you know, to kind of get us back on track, because like I said, we've diverged a little bit here talking specifically about the holidays. And when we originally set this up, we talked about
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Traditions and rituals. And so this is probably a place for us to kind of segue into.
Yeah, good point.
Holiday traditions are fine and good, and everybody has their own reason for doing them. The point about traditions is to create something that brings a family together, and that we don't always have to take ourselves very seriously. Traditions should be meaningful, but they should also be fun and something that we want to continue doing. Otherwise, it becomes a chore rather than a tradition, you know? And so how do we take this idea that that traditions are important for family bonding and for family identity and belonging and acceptance and stuff? How do we take that developmental idea and be able to do it year round? You mentioned birthdays, which is another great time and event for us to create traditions or rituals. And so there are some things we can do for birthdays. Some people have a particular like restaurant they go to or how they celebrate birthday parties with a certain cake or something like that. That one of our traditions is you kind of you get to request your favorite type of cake. My son
Ethan
doesn't like chocolate
That's
cake,
good.
And so you know he'll ask for something vanilla. We've had German chocolate cake, as a special type of cake. We've had I don't know, just a variety of different things. That's one of our birthday traditions. But even beyond birthdays or special events, I mean, because we could bring in anniversaries and we could bring in other holidays like Easter and 4th of July and stuff. But what about daily rituals, things that we do with our kids and with our family that are on a daily or weekly basis that create familiarity, that create consistency, that create safety for kids so they can grow and develop in a household where they feel loved and cared for and valued because we're doing these things that bring us together, these rituals. And that's part of what we wanted to kind of talk about in relation to traditions, something that fits the theme of what the Real Family Guys podcast is about is making families stronger and healthier. So let's talk about some different rituals. What kind of things outside of holiday traditions and special events like birthdays do you and your family do as far as just regular rituals that bring you together?
I'm gonna start. I guess we'll go. I'm gonna call it large, medium, and small. And okay. they're all effective, and they all kind of interweave amongst each other. I think I just totally made that word up, but they all weave amongst each other. They interweave amongst each other.
Sounds like a hairstyle.
Exactly. One of our big things is dinner time. We have got to where we do dinner time. That's a tradition for us. Now that's not just tradition because mom and dad did or anything like that. We didn't do it for a long time, especially when our kids were younger. I mean, my wife and I would go eat in the living room and visit or something like that, you know. But as the kids got older and they started having that desire to connect with us more, we realized one of the best ways to do that was at dinner time, because we could sit down and we would talk. How was your day? What happened today? Tell me about it. Oh, tell me more. Okay, right. Cool. And then what's interesting is I noticed that as the kids got older, they started asking us, Dad, how was your day today? Tell me more. You know, they started, which is really kind of cute when you've got your 6-year old, you know, using your phrases back at you. But that's kind of one of the big ones, the most consistent ones. I won't look you guys in the face and say 5 days a week we sit down and we eat dinner as a family, because we really don't. It's more like about 3 times, you know, a week that we do it. And then some weeks, like last week, was so weird because we were out of town. I was at a conference half of it. You know, we hardly did it at all. You know, so I mean, again, we're not talking about adherence to it. Remember, when does a tradition become bad? When the actions behind it become more important for the tradition's sake than what the tradition is gaining for you as a family. And so, you know, dinner is a big one that we do. So kind of moving to the medium one, the one that we do every so often is we do movie night as a family. And we love that one, man. We find some movie that's out that's on Netflix or on, you know, Amazon Prime or Hulu or something like that. And we rent it, or if we just find it and everybody sits down as a family. We throw blankets on the floor. We pop popcorn. Find the crappiest for you candy that you can ever imagine. And each kid gets a bowl of popcorn and their pick of their candy. And often we've got we try to make it like a movie theater experience as much as we can, because we don't go see theaters a lot because they're expensive and we've really decided to cut back in our entertainment area. And so that, you know what I found? Kids love that more. They love that more than the theater itself, because they can turn around and laugh with us and they can turn around and talk with us. But, mom and I, we curl up on the couch and the kids sit in the floor. And then when they get done with their candy, they retreat back to the couch with us and they curl up in our arms and we just sit there and watch. Exactly.
The best thing about this for movie night, all those aspects are great. Being able to pause the movie, take a bathroom break in the middle.
Oh, yes.
That's epic. That's great.
Yes, it is. Now that my kids, we have an Xbox, one of those 360 Kinects, and so my kids, they love it because they'll get done and they'll, Xbox, pause, boo-doo, and they can log out. They love that. They love that. So, yeah, so then everybody falls back on the couch and we curl up and then, you know, then we have our snuggle time, if you will, and we watch our movie. It's such a tender moment. It's one of my favorites. But one of the, and I want to break it down. Here's a little tradition that we do. And I think a lot of times we forget to think about these things. And maybe the right word, like you suggested earlier, Jeff, is the word ritual. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we do is anytime we reinforce for something, like, good job, way to go, we do what is called taters. We give taters in our family. And all that is just a balled up fist bump. You just fist bump each other.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My kids love taters. That's a huge thing to them. It's for them. They love it. They love it. The other day I came in and Anna said, Daddy, could you help me with this? I said, sure. And I picked up a really heavy stool for him. It's super heavy. And I set it up and she goes, Dad, give me taters. Because that's what we always say. Hey, good job, kids. Give me taters. And so, but that's
worse than you as a parent, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
You always feel so underappreciated anyhow. That's awesome.
So I break that up into that we have our weekly ones. We have, you know, maybe a once every 2 or 3 weeks one. And then we just have those little things, those little things that are, you know, one of my employees came in and he was talking with me and he came in and I heard him talking with his wife and he said, let me give you taters. And he gave his wife taters because she also works here as well in another department. And mm-hmm. he goes, that's a Gibson thing. And I love that. I love that though, because that little tiny thing got branded as just a Gibson thing. And so it's those mm-hmm. little things that make your family unique to you. Those little things that y'all do, that y'all's inside thing that you love. That's what we're talking about. I think that's so cool.
And I think that you hit on something. When we have these rituals or these things that uniquely define us, it does create identity. And we have a family identity, especially developmentally. That's what young kids do. They don't develop an autonomous identity until they start becoming teenagers and into young adulthood. So part of our job as parents is to help foster and create the family identity as part of a normal developmental growth when our kids are young. And rituals are a fantastic way to do that because, hey, that's a Gibson thing. That's an Emory thing. And that's, you know, it's very friendly. And this is what we do as our family, you know? And so being able to, even if you take something that other people do, to be able to customize it and make it important and meaningful for you is a great thing.
Go ahead. I was going to ask you. So what are the rituals, the traditions in your family what's the Emory things?
Sure. Well, you kind of categorize yours as large, medium, and small. I kind of group mine around different daily events. One of my favorite, and I don't know exactly how this started. It's something that we really really enjoy, and it's kind of, I guess it's not unique to us. I've heard other people do something similar, but we have a leave-taking ritual. And for little kids, separation anxiety is a pretty normal thing, especially when they're first going to school and they've been with mom and dad primarily on a day-in and day-out basis, and now they're going to be transitioning to spending with the teacher around other kids where they can be picked on or they can be made fun of or people don't understand them. And so there's a lot of anxiety involved with that process of going to school and growing up a little bit. And so we developed a leave-taking tradition this little ritual that helps us transition from us together to us being not together for a little while, like while they're at school. And it started off with just our love of a song that that many people are familiar with, especially if you like Christian pop or Christian rock. The artist's name is Matthew West, and years ago he came out with a song called More. And what we'll do is the chorus of the song is, I love you more than the sun and the stars that I taught how to shine. You are mine, and you shine for me too. I love you yesterday and today, and I'll say it again and again. I love you more.
Yeah, I like
And I kind of rattle that off, and the reason I can do that is not only because I like the song, but because I say this on almost a daily basis when my kids are getting out of the car at school, and I say, I love you, and they'll say, I love you more, and I'll say, then the stars, and it goes back and forth.
Yeah, I like that.
And it ends with us in unison saying, I love you more, and then we kind of make the I love you sign language sign, and they walk off to the class. But that's a leave-taking ritual where – you know, we got to be a little bit embarrassed of people hearing us sing to each other. And you know, especially because it's not something just that takes a second to do. It takes a good, you know, 30 or 40 seconds to sing to that chorus. And so we kind of started, you know, as we're pulling into the parking lot at school, I said, all right, you guys have a good day. I love you. I love you more. And we just go back and forth with that. But when we don't do it, you know what my kids do?
What do they do?
They're like, Dad, what? I love you. And I'll say, and they'll kind of leave it hanging. I'm like, you love me more, and then they'll be like, yeah, then the sun and the stars that I taught, how to train, and just go through the whole thing. And, you know, but it's gotten to the point that it's something uniquely us. And so, you know, that may seem silly to some folk, but it's meaningful. And it's one of our leave taking rituals. So that's an event during the day when we're taking leave of each other to feel connected and to reduce that anxiety. A lot of families have bedtime rituals, which are really important for helping us kind of settle down. Bedtime is another anxiety inducing time for both parents and kids. If you've ever been a parent that you feel like you told your kid back in bed the umpteenth time and you're ready to, you know, pull your hair out or call the cops because something bad's about to happen.
Punch you in the face. Go to bed.
Yeah, we feel like our kids have springs on the bottoms or something. You know, as soon as they sit down, they're up again, you know. It's like, how many times do I have to go back to bed? Well, I can't this. I want some water. I want it, you know. And so bedtime rituals are a way of creating familiarity and routine that help our kids feel safe so they can drift off to sleep, knowing that we'll be there in the morning, or if anything happens tonight, we'll be there to take care of them. So sometimes we have bedtime stories or bedtime hugs or cuddles or just the routine of the evening. You know, well, it starts off with bath, and then we get a drink of water and a bedtime snack, and then we go lay down and we read a story, and then, you know, we tuck them in and, you know, snug as a bug in a rug, or we call it making a burrito, or we kind of pack them in real tight so they can't move, and they love it, you know.
Jeff, before we go any further, I got to say something, man. You just helped me solve a problem. Like, seriously, within the last week and a half, we have developed this issue to where each and every kid has started getting up three or four times, four or five times sometimes, you know, during the wind down process and just getting out and coming out. And it's gotten to where we've noticed also in the last couple of weeks that we've started seeing our kids wanting to get up and come get in our beds at night. And we couldn't figure out why. And it just dawned on me exactly 2 weeks ago. It got real busy because there was Thanksgiving and there was pre that and we're getting ready for this conference. I stopped reading them their nighttime story 2 weeks ago. You just solved. I think you just gave me the solution to the problem. So I know what I'm doing tonight. Boom.
and that's good stuff. That familiarity is our kids' safety. And when they feel safe, they have less anxiety. So I mentioned leave taking. I mentioned bedtime. Sometimes even the coming together rituals. When I pick my kids up from school, we don't do the, hey, I love you more kind of stuff. But I do ask them about their day. Sometimes I ask them to give me a high five, or if they, great. It's kind of a therapy thing. Kids, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, tell me how your day was. So
it's good, though. Those are good questions.
Dad, my day was a 7. A 7? Well, is that, you know, on the good side of things, or are you disappointed that it's not an 8? And so then they get to give me, labeling where they were at on that scale gives us something to talk about. You mentioned dinner time. I mean, that's a great time to create some rituals, you know, sharing about your day or, you know, giving fist bumps or even cooking dinner sometimes. My kids all have, a while back, they started complaining about different meals that my wife was making. So she said, okay, well, we'll sit down with the recipe box and we're going to pick out something that you at your age can make. And you cook dinner, so you're tired of complaining about what I'm cooking. So, Ethan makes red beans and rice and sausage. He likes to cut up the sausage and it stir everything together. Mary Hannah makes Southwest chicken wraps, and Ellie makes macaroni and cheese. Some of them are a little bit more complicated than the others, but developmentally, it's what they can handle with very little bit of help.
No, it's great.
And they get to make dinner. It helps them feel competent and confident in their own abilities to make decisions. And you know what? They don't complain about the stuff they make.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, I got to be honest, man. I was thinking about when you were talking about the I love you yesterday and today. When you were telling that story, I mean, I could hear it in my head. The thousands of listeners that listen to the Real Family Guys podcast, because we really have thousands now, and I could hear them, all of them, because the vast majority of the demographics are ladies in most cases. Mm-hmm. I could hear every one of them in unison just going, aww. I mean, that was precious. That is precious.
Well, those are important things. And you and I are kind of talking about what we do with our kids. But I think that all families have traditions, whether they realize them or not. It's a matter of being purposeful about them. And especially for families that are blending family traditions, whether they're newly married or whether they're coming from step families that they're integrating, there's some unique issues that if they can harness the ritual process and they can ritualize some things on a daily basis, whether it's leave taking or coming together or dinner time or bedtime, that it can help build a relationship and give security to a system that really needs that, because it doesn't have it historically. It's coming together, you've got, boom, instant family, you know? And so being able to understand what rituals do for families and for kids, I think can be an important tool to help them blend families together and overcome some of those obstacles that blended families have as far as building a relationship and helping everyone feel safe and connected.
Yeah, I think that's good. You know, I was thinking about, talking about traditions too. I also want to encourage people to take a look at the tradition that you've got in your life and evaluate them to establish, are they really providing something for someone other than just me? Are they providing something for your kid? I had a dad in my office years ago who was, he was complaining about how he couldn't connect with his son. And he said, we always do the rocket game. I said, oh, tell me about that. And he explained to me the rocket game and how he would pick him up and toss him in the air. And he said, I think this is such a good thing. Well, I would visit with the kid. You know, he was maybe 5 or 6 years old. And we got to talking about that rocket thing. And he goes, yeah, I hate that. I hate doing that rocket thing. And I finally brought him in, and I really got the kid, and the kid said, Dad, I hate the rocket. And it kind of hurt Dad's feelings at first because he said, that's what my dad did with me, and I loved it. But we kind of got to hash out, okay, but, it was such a wonderful thing that's so unique to you and your dad. But what's something that – and what they were able to come up with is what they call the tickle monster game. His dad kind of would do that, this little tickly thing, and they wound up naming it. It was such an honor to get to be a part of this, and as goofy as that sounds. But I got to watch them. They decided to name it as Dad and Son, the tickle monster game. And they moved to the tickle monster game, and this kid loved that. And so I also want to encourage people, take a look at your tradition. And see what is really gaining something for your family, and in some cases, what's taken away. Check with everybody.
Sure. Well, and in today's day and age, and maybe this is an area we can kind of wrap up on as far as suggestions and everything, but I was thinking of how many opportunities we have today to connect with our kids that is immediacy and closeness that we didn't have before. Things like I used to, and I still do sometimes, but not consistently. When I make my kids' lunches, I'll make the sandwiches, I'll put them in baggies and everything. Then I'll take a permanent marker, and I used to just put their initials on them so I would know who they went to. But as we started having more dietary stuff, because I've got two kids that are diabetic, and so we have to make sure we put the carb count on the food that they're eating so they can give themselves insulin for it. And so I started writing a little bit more stuff down. And then, Eleanor noticed that I wasn't doing that for her because she's not diabetic, and she complained about it. And so I started putting, daddy love or something on there with a permanent marker.
Yeah, yeah.
But little notes like that. But we also have emails. I don't know if your kids are old enough to have email addresses.
Not emailing yet.
But my eldest is she's got an iPod right now, and we created an Apple ID for her so she can get text messages on her iPod. And although that's still regulated on what she can download and everything, it's a great way for us to keep in contact with her, even at 11 years
that's
old.
That's fun.
I text her things, and although Ethan doesn't have his own email, I set up an email address for him so that I could sign him up for like Club Penguin and some other things he does online. Yeah. So I didn't have to have that spam come to mind. But occasionally I'll send him stuff that. When he is in his email, or maybe when he gets a little bit older, he'll be able to look back at these little notes that I sent him over the years. I've been thinking about him or talking to him. Emails, notes, text messages, lunch bags, little video messages. I remember I took a trip to San Antonio for a conference not long ago, and before I left on my iPhone, I recorded a little, hey kids, I'm going to be gone for a couple of days, but I want to, I'll be thinking about you every single day, and when I'm at the Alamo, I'm going to take some pictures, and I'm going to, I'll be and that y'all are here with me, and I'm going to send you a little video link. And so there are tons of ways for us to do meaningful little things and create rituals using technology that will engage our kids. What it comes down to is using some creativity. When we can creatively find ways to connect with our kids in meaningful, purposeful ways, and we can do it consistently, then we've created a ritual that's unique to our family that we can take identity and be proud of, and can just help us to build those relationships that are oh so important for us to be successful in what we want to do in raising functional kids.
I think that's good. Jeff, if we've got time, would you be willing to go over? We had briefly also talked about, in a lot of cases, everything we've talked about up until this point has been if you still live with your intact family, right? So no divorce, no separation. However, we also acknowledge here at Real Family Guys Podcast, that's not always where everybody's at. And so there are blended families now that are like, okay, traditions. This family over here, well, we always did it this way, right? I mean, you brought up a great point. We've bumped into that with our family as well. Okay, well, this family over here does opening presents on Christmas Day, and then they go right. see Christmas, or Christmas Eve, and they go see parents on Christmas Day or grandparents on Christmas Day. And so how do we – because you have a really good perspective on this. How do we blend those two together, Jeff? How do you take two separate families that have had totally opposing beliefs and put them together?
Well, I think the biggest component here is communication, is being willing to talk about the things that are important to us. And you mentioned a moment ago, there may be some things that I did with my family growing up that I want to continue with my kids, but my kids may not be into it.
Yeah, that's good.
My son, Ethan, for instance, hates being tickled. I mean,
yeah.
We do it playfully. He will get angry. I mean, like mad and like physical if you try to tickle him. And he will remind you, I don't like that. Well, why do we persist on doing it? The tickle mouse thing would not work well with you. But you know what? Ella loves to be touched and cuddled, and she'll protest while you're tickling her, but as soon as you stop, she'll make you do it again. You know? And so recognizing being able to communicate those things and not to be so entrenched that we're not willing to be adaptable. I mean, as parents, we need to be adaptable and flexible. So when we're talking about learning traditions, being open and being willing to, you know, if there's something that one person says that they don't really enjoy or that's not really okay, well, let's come up with something and give everybody a voice so that it's something that everybody's participating in and everybody's invested in, because that way it'll be meaningful to everybody rather than meaningful to just one person. And so the biggest component of those blended family traditions and rituals is not only being purposeful and saying we need this in order for us to be able to grow together as a family, but to make sure that we're inclusive rather than exclusive. We want to make sure everybody is included and has a voice, and that we're willing to say what we like, what we don't like, as we're coming together. If we can do that, if we can honor everybody's desire in there, we're almost guaranteed to have something that helps us once again to build that family identity. So if you got a stepmom or a stepdad and they're sitting down with the opposite side of the family, so you have mom and stepdad and then stepdad's kids and mom's kids, and have everybody sit down and say, you know, we want to develop some traditions and rituals. So, you know, what are some things that we all like to do as a family? And you know, start brainstorming and throw things out there in a non-judgmental atmosphere so that we can all kind of investigate, you know, what can we do that everybody likes, you know? And getting that consensus can be difficult sometimes, but I think honoring each other's desire to have a voice and giving everybody a chance to be included will go a long way in building that blending of families.
I think that's good. Hey, Jeff, anything we need to talk about before we wrap it up today?
You know, we've covered a lot of stuff. Some of it was chasing rabbits and a little bit off track, but I think that we shared something from both our perspectives about traditions and rituals. There's a lot of stuff out there. You know, Trey and I like to do research before we start talking about this, and not only talk from our experience, but also find some resources that we can pass along. And so I love the internet. There's fantastic stuff out there. Just a quick search that I did on Google brought up several different books that you might investigate that are available. Articles in Psychology Today about there's one from the November 2010 issue of Psychology Today called Creating Everyday Rituals That Are Meaningful to You and Your Family. There are books you can find on Amazon. And just tons and tons of articles and blogs about that. So do your research. If you don't feel like you're creative enough to do it on your own, just tag somebody else's. We used to have a saying in youth ministry when somebody came up with a really clever idea, like, man, that's great. You're so creative. They'd just smile and say, yeah, he who is most creative hides his sources best. You know, so there's no new ideas out there. Grab something that you find online that appeals to you. Make it your own. Personalize it and create those meaningful rituals with your family so that you guys can be where you want to be and grow together in those relationships.
Well, guys, that is all that we have for this episode of the Real Family Guys podcast. Hope you guys enjoy your day. Hope you guys are enjoying getting prepped up for this holiday weekend. Make sure that you guys stay safe. Just for the record, we want y'all to know we will have an episode coming out next Friday. Jeff and I are going to sit down and record early so that way we can have things up to date and ready to roll for you guys during the holidays. So if you're sitting down bored, all the presents have been opened, you've got enough tryptophan, which they did debunk that, but you got enough tryptophan turkey flowing through your system and you're sleeping, you're like, man, I'd like to just sit down and listen to something, don't forget to come check us out for those. Guys, as always, we want to make sure that we value your time. If you want to hear an episode topic on something, you can feel free to email us at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com, or you can email Jeff at
Jeff@TexasFamilyInstitute.org.
And if you guys have any kind of questions, comments, thoughts, hey, why don't y'all, you know, can y'all talk about this? What do y'all think about that? We want to get your episodes to put those out there. Remember, we want to talk about what's important to you, and one of the best ways to do that, jump on over and you can do that for us. Well, guys, I hope you guys have a great weekend this weekend. I hope you guys enjoy yourself, and if nothing else, we'll see you guys next Friday.
This is just for you, Trey. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
roll with it, reel with it. Okay.